guys so much for having me here. It's really good to be back. A lot of you probably don't know me. My name is Clarence. I grew up in this church in CCC. I probably started coming out here when I was like 5 years old in like 1984. Okay, I was here until I left Maryland. I taught, you know, I graduated. I went to University of Maryland. I taught middle school science at White Oak Middle School and also Francis Scott Key, so in like the Springbrook area. After that, I went off to seminary and in California, so I've been in California ever since. But this church is my home church. It's where I grew up. It's where I got my call to ministry. It's where I got saved. I became a Christian. I feel like I like first professed my faith to Jesus like at a retreat, like in seventh grade, back in like 92 or something like that. And I don't know, maybe some of you were here for that during that time. And so I'm really happy to be here. I'm glad that I get to spend this time with you. If you don't know who I am, talk to me. We'll get to know each other. You know, if you ever visit San Diego, look me up. Figured I'd introduce myself a little bit. So that's me and my wife, that's Serena. We've been married for 5 years now. It'll be six in August. Back there in the corner, some of my closest friends that I made here at this church and teens group, you might recognize Jenny's youngest brother, Edwin. So I don't know if you guys know Peter, Angel, you know, and their respective spouses. This is a church that I'm at right now. This was taken at our retreat like a month ago. It's called Living Stones in San Diego. That's our college group. I spend a lot of time with students, college students, and so mostly UCSD students. And so that's a group of them hanging out. And I figure I like dug into the archive to show like an old photo. Oops, I got to move it over. So I figured I'll show one per, these are some old youth group pictures. I don't know if you recognize in the pink, that's Katie. over there. We've got the Price's, sorry, Price Kid, Stan and Cindy's daughter. You know, a couple of others. That's like snow camp, like way back in the day. So a little. I'll put one out each session. Okay. I'm gonna start off with just a question for you guys. And I want you to talk to each other. So you know, talk to somebody around you. Just take like 3 minutes. Answer this question. What's one of your most prized possessions? Something precious to you? Okay, maybe it's like an instrument you really like, maybe it's a keepsake, a memento, maybe it's, I don't know, a pair of shoes, whatever, an autograph, I don't know. Something that you, is valuable to you, that you wouldn't want people to mess with. Okay, go ahead, just like talk to somebody next to you. Alright, one more minute. All right, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. I know you guys have a lot of maybe possessions that you are happy. So since I'm hanging out with a lot of college students these days, I decided I needed to level up my sneaker game. Don't judge these. These are not them. Okay? And so for the first time ever, I bought like a pair of sneakers. I got some Air Force Ones, right? I got like the high top. And I don't know, like this is me like just getting into it. There's this whole world of like sneakers. This is like, I'm low level, right? Like just like barely beginning out. But like to get into sneakers, like people are so crazy about their sneakers. Like they spend a lot of money. I don't know what, someone's pointing at Jonah over here. So you know, like I get these now, like because I've been looking it up so much, like on my Facebook, like videos or whatever, I get all these like videos of people at sneaker conventions, you know, trying to make deals and spending like $3,000, $5,000 for a pair of sneakers. Wow. And they don't wear them. They're special, right? Like you can't wear, or some of them, if you do wear them, like it's a really big deal to not get the crease, right? So like if you go like this, like you see this line that happens on your shoe, they don't do that. Some people, they'll like walk like this, right? Like, or like if it does crease, they have to like iron it out. Like there's special brushes now to like clean your shoes, and there's like all of these things, right? And so I got these like custom Air Force Ones. I like made them myself. I didn't buy an expensive pair. I just like bought one online. I like, you know, made the color patterns, you know, whatever. I like them. And now I have to keep them all nice. They're special, right? Like I can't, you don't go hiking in these, you know, you don't play basketball in them, even though they're basketball shoes, right? Like you just, they're just another purpose. You know, this, the theme of this weekend is vessels of honor, right, for God's purposes. And so we're talking about just diving into this idea that there's something special, right, about who we are. There's something like very unique, very intentional, very meaningful, very like we are designed actually like in a certain way, specific for certain things. And we're just diving into this idea that like, you know, what does it mean to embrace this concept? Like you are a vessel filled with the honor of God, right? Made to do certain things. We have the opportunity and the blessing and the privilege as followers of Christ to get to do what I think are the best things in life, to be a part of the best works in life, to experience the best, you know, like fruit of life that life can offer. And we want to dive into that. And so today, you know, we're just going to go throughout this weekend a number of messages just helping us like kind of lay the groundwork for this idea that we are special, designed for certain things. What does that mean? To embrace that, right? And so today we're going to really talk about what does it mean to be a vessel of honor? And really it's the idea that, like today, it's like that we're special, right? That we are unique. We're not flip-flops. We are, you know, $5,000, I don't know, right? Like special edition, whatever. I don't know what they are, right? We're Yeezys, guys. Nobody knows. Okay. He's getting canceled. It's okay. Right? We're special. We're unique. And I want you to experience that. I hope you experience that during today's message. I hope that you can see yourself, like really see yourself as something different, something unique, something that God loves and cares for and adores and cherishes. Because that's a very, very important to this whole concept. If you don't feel like you are special, that you are specific, that you are uniquely made or designed, like none of the other stuff will happen because you're like, that doesn't talk about me, right? If I'm not, you know, like Tony's an honorable vessel, me, I'm just like, whatever, right? Like if that's your idea, like, no, I'm not nothing special. I'm not anything unique. God doesn't didn't make me any different or, you know, in any unique way, then none of this stuff will make sense, right? You won't feel it. You won't want it. You won't desire it. So let me pray for us. We're going to talk about a story, one of my favorites in the Bible, so we can see what does it mean to be filled with honor. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to hear from you. We want to know your heart, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would allow us to see your heart for us. Lord, to know what fills your heart when you look at us, when you observe us. To know what it means, Lord, that you cherish us, that you sit with us, you speak to us, you listen to us, you love us. God, I know maybe some of us really feel that already, constantly, and that's awesome. Some of us have no idea what that feels like. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just reveal your heart, even a little bit, to us today. Oh, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from Mark 5. Ooh, yeah, that got cut off. If you have a Bible, it doesn't cut off. You can finish it. Let me read. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." And so Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been the subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. And yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see, the people were crowding against you," his disciple answers, "yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the other woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid and just believe." Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone, I'm losing my place on there. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. And he took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was around 12 years old. And at this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and told them to give her something to eat. Whoops, I just did something. Oh no, oh, I got you. Yeah. So Jesus is a countryside preacher, right? He's this guy, he goes around from town to town, village to village, and he starts sharing, at this point, he's sharing this message about this kingdom that's coming, right? And he goes to town, and while he goes and preaches this message, he also does these healings. So he's healing people, right? People bring their sick, people bring their lame, people bring their demon-possessed to him, and he's like doing all this stuff. It's pretty cool. And so finally he comes to this town, and there's a crowd waiting for him, right? He took a boat, maybe people saw him on the boat, like, oh, I think that's Jesus coming. Let's see what he's gonna do here. And while he's there, there's this man waiting for him, this like synagogue leader. Maybe this is Jesus' door to become like a little bit more legit. This is like an endorsement from a local like authority. This guy Jairus, the people know him. It seems like he can just make his way into the crowd, find Jesus, come down before him, kneel at his feet and say, please, please, and plead for his daughter's life. He's obviously known, he's obviously respected, he obviously has, you know, some authority, right, to just cut through the crowd. Jesus tells him, yeah, like, let's do this, and let's go heal your daughter. Jairus isn't the only one desperate to experience healing from Jesus. And unlike Jairus, this woman can't just walk straight through a crowd. She can't command the attention and just feel like she can visibly walk up to Jesus and ask him for healing. This is a woman who has been bleeding. So if you don't know about like Jewish customs and religious customs, is that when a woman is bleeding, right, like on her period, she is considered ceremonially unclean. That means she cannot worship in the temple, she cannot take part of like temple worship and whatever, which is like the center of like religious life for like the Jewish people, right? And so this woman has been bleeding for 12 years. She's gone, she spent all her money, right? She spent all her money to try and get better, and it says every doctor she went to, Eve, instead of getting better, she got worse. But here's the thing, when you are ceremonially unclean, anybody that you touch becomes unclean. And so this woman, as she's going through this crowd, do you know what she's basically doing? She's like infecting, right? She is basically making each person in that crowd religiously unclean, unable to participate in the worship life that they normally go to, unable to go make sacrifices at the altars, unable to go pray at the temple, unable to do any of these things for a period of time until they can present themselves as cleansed to a rabbi. And so as she's like walking around, and here's the thing, touching Jesus makes him unclean. She's desperate though, and so she is like, I don't know, she's like, I don't care. She probably cares a lot. She's probably very shy, very embarrassed, does not want to be seen. She's trying to just like, I'll just touch him, I'll get the healing, and I'm out of here, right? And so she makes her way through the crowd, and he says, and she like touches him, and it works. She got away with it. Right? She gets healed. She's like, finally, 12 years of suffering are ended today. But then Jesus does this thing. He stops, right? He stops and he turns around into the crowd and he's like, hold on a second. Who touched me? And his disciples, and just imagine if you're Jairus, by the way. Like, imagine if your daughter is dying at home. And the doctor that you are asking to come and get her is like, who touched me? Right? You're like, Jesus, don't worry about that. Right? Like, you can
Worry about this later. You can figure that out later. We'll come back. I promise. Everybody stay, right? Like, you know what I mean? Let's go take care of my daughter first. And his disciples are probably feeling the same way. This guy's important, right? This guy's a synagogue leader. This guy is important in the community. This guy's, you know, is his, he has authority. He has value. He has meaning. Why waste your time trying to find out who touched you? What does that matter? And Jesus is like, I want to know. And this girl, she has this choice, this woman. She has a choice. It's like, I already got healed. I can just shrink back, be on my merry way. Which sounds like a pretty good choice. Because the thing is, if she tells the truth, if she goes forward, do you know what happens to her? Everybody in the crowd knows what she did. Everybody in the crowd knows, you made me unclean. You made the rabbi unclean. Right? She gets exposed. She overcomes that, and it says, and I don't think this was a short exchange. She wasn't like, oh, it was me, and she's like, okay, be healed, go on your way. It says she tells him her whole story. Like all these details that we knew, like we found out that she's been bleeding for 12 years, that she had gone to a doctor, every doctor that she went, you know, like didn't work and got worse. Like this probably came out as she's just like, and now there's this crowd around them, and Jesus is just talking to this woman who's probably like so scared out of her mind. She's like really afraid, and she's just telling her, telling Jesus her life story. She's like, so sorry, you know, like, you know, this is what's been happening to me. And Jesus is just listening. And Jairus is like, hurry up, right? Like, you know, the disciples are like, come on, right? Like, you know, and Jesus is just listening. And he tells her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Like, go and be freed from your suffering. Jesus isn't just healing her sickness. Jesus isn't just healing the suffering of the bleeding that has happened. By him affirming her in front of the crowd, he is healing her isolation, right? He is healing her loneliness. He is healing her status. He's healing the way, he's correcting the way the crowd would observe her and understand her and see who she was. In the entire Gospel of Mark, there is only one person that Jesus calls daughter, and it's her. We don't need it. There's only one person he calls daughter, and it's her. And it's on purpose. I know that Mark writes this because he's saying, yes, I need to heal Jairus' daughter, but first I need to heal my own. I need to heal my daughter. She has been suffering for 12 years. Like, I care about her so much. She has been isolated for 12 years. She has been destitute for 12 years. She has been lonely for 12 years. She has been hopeless for 12 years. I need to sit with my daughter and be with her. I need to tell her, I need to show her that I see her, that I love her, that she is welcome, and that she does not make me dirty. I make her clean. When we talk about what does it mean to feel, to be vessels of honor, it's not just the task that you're given is an honorable task, but it's that Jesus himself takes her shame and he honors her, he elevates her. in front of all of those around, and he says, you are my daughter. He says, you I love, you I care about, you are special, you are meaningful to me. You are important. This is what it means to experience the honor of God. Right? Imagine being that person. Oh, she's like, I can't, she's filled with shame. Right? Even as she's like going towards Jesus, even as she's trying to reach out, she's just desperate, but she's like, I know I'm gonna, like, people are gonna judge me for, I can't let anybody know what I'm doing. I just gotta, you know, just touch the cloak and get out of here. I can't let anybody see me. I don't want anybody to know me. I don't want anybody to even really, like, know what happened here. And when Jesus turned around in the crowd and he said, who touched me? She had a choice. And I think that choice was a choice of faith or trust. If I come forward, will Jesus judge me, or will he embrace me? Will he accept me, or will he shame me? So she comes forward, and he calls her daughter. It is so, so important for each one of us to experience like this kind of acceptance from our Father. It's so, so important for us to experience this kind of love, this kind of welcome, this kind of forgiveness. Like, otherwise, like, the rest of it, like, we won't want to do anything. Right? Why would we do something for God? Why would we care about his purposes or his glory or his, right? Without experiencing and knowing just how much he accepts and loves and cares for us. How much he values us. She has done nothing for him, and he turns to her and he says, welcome. I see you. I love you. I care for you. It's very un-Asian to think about how special you are or how unique and how precious you are. I don't think my parents have ever told me, Clarence, you are precious to our family. You are so valuable. My second son. Right? Like, you know, I've never gotten any of that. I don't know if you've gotten that. I'll, you know, maybe you're some of the parents in here. You can go tell your children this later. Right? Maybe none of you kids have been like, Mom, you are so special to this family. You are so precious. Right? Like, it's not a thing we do. Right? It's very uncomfortable for us to be like, yeah, I'm precious to God. I am special, that I am loved by him. You know, there's this one disciple, the disciple John, in his gospel, he always refers to him as the disciple whom Jesus loved, right? It's kind of cocky, you know what I mean? Like, all right, that's a little presumptuous. You know, like the disciple that Jesus loved. Like, you're better, you're more loved than all of the other disciples. I had a pastor friend and his family staying with us. They were moving into, they were purchasing a house and they needed a place to stay for a couple of months, and so they lived with us. And they have three boys. And the youngest boy, he's like 4 years old, right? Simeon, he's really cute. And there's one day where, you know, we're like hanging out, and he goes, Uncle Clarence, he's like, do you like spending time with me? And I'm like, Simeon, I love spending time with you. He's like, okay, like, he's really happy, right? And then the next day, like, in the morning, he saw me, he's like, telling his mom and telling his dad, Uncle Clarence loves spending time with me. Right? He loves it, you know, and he would say it to me. He would be like, Uncle Clarence, you love spending time with me, right? You love it. I am awesome. And I don't think he's comparing himself. I don't think he's like elevating himself beyond. I think he's just happy. He's like, oh, really? Really? Like, you really like spending time with me? That's awesome, right? And this has shifted how I think about John. I don't think John's like, I am the only disciple that Jesus loved. He's like, I can't believe that Jesus loves me. So I'm just going to take that as my name. I am the disciple that Jesus loves. You are the disciple that Jesus loves. You are the son that Jesus loves. You are the daughter that Jesus loves. He cares about you so, so much. Not based on what you do, not based on how righteous you've been living, how clean your room has been, how whatever good your grades are, how, you know, how much you've been serving at church. Not based on how wise you are and how much you've studied, how much you've, I don't know, like, been unselfish to those around you. He just sees you. He welcomes you. He's like, let me hear your story. Tell me everything. Tell me how you've been suffering. Tell me how you've been hurting. Tell me how you've been lonely. Let me call you son and daughter. It is so, so important that we not just know this on an intellectual level, like we have to experience it. Like you have to know it on a really deep, like, heart place. And I don't know what that takes. Maybe it takes more understanding. Maybe it takes more meditation into God's word. Maybe it takes some experiences in life where God just reveals to you something very powerfully, like, yes, I am here with you. I am for you. Maybe it takes some guy from San Diego flying back to his home church to preach a message. I don't know. What does it take? But it's so, so important. And some of us, let's be honest, maybe have not thought about this much. We don't like to think of ourselves as, does God really love me? Special? Does he, like, cherish me? Maybe some of us are too busy trying to earn God's love, earn God's care, earn God's favor, be right in his eyes. I don't think you need to do that. Once you experience the honor, once you experience that love and understand it and know it deeply, like, don't worry, you'll want to do the things. You know that Simeon kid who's like, you love spending time with me. I'd be like, I love spending time with you while we clean some dishes. Right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I love spending time with you while we put your toys away. He'll do it, right? Like, he'll be like, yeah, you love spending time with me. Like, he's just happy to be with me. Those things will happen. But first, we need to know that. We need to know how God sees us. How God feels about us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I don't know where, you know, all of us are. Lord, I don't know how much of us really have just, I don't know, experienced and fully embraced your love for us. Recently, or maybe even ever. Maybe our hearts are closed to that. Maybe it's too hard to understand. It feels too abstract. But God, I know of your love for each person here. I know how precious you think each one of them is. I know how much you care for everything that happens in their lives. I know how much you enjoy spending time with them, sitting with them, hearing them. God, I pray that each one of us would just move one step closer into understanding that for ourselves, to experiencing and knowing how much you see us, love us, care for us. So much so that you sent your Son to be with us, to walk among us, to live and die for us. Help us to, expand our hearts to understand that experience and expand our minds, Lord. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.